This is the voice of Contract Management, presented by the law firm of Kroll & Mooring, exclusively for NCMA. Stay up to date on all things contract management, 5 minutes at a time. Our team at Kroll & Mooring presents these podcasts to keep you up to speed on a bi-monthly basis. We will cover everything from regulatory updates to crucial changes that impact the government contracting community.
We are your co-hosts for this edition, Yuan Zhou, Olivia Lynch, and Zach Schroeder. Today, we're discussing the federal government's focus on waste, fraud, and abuse in federal small business programs, the audits and investigations that have been initiated by federal agencies, and steps that both small and large contractors should be considering at this stage. Zach, welcome to the podcast. Can you do some stage setting for us on the current landscape?
Sure. What we're focused on today is backward-looking audits of small business set-aside awards. First, the Small Business Administration. In July 2025, SBA indicated that it had undertaken a full-scale audit of the 8A program to include high-dollar and limited competition contracts over the last 15 years. Then, in October 2025, the SBA administrator clarified that this audit was to review every 8A contract for the last 15 years. SBA's focus here seems to be squarely on waste, fraud, and abuse in the 8A program. For example, in October 2025, the SBA administrator said SBA has seen institutionalized abuse, which potentially amounts to billions of dollars in federal contracts that are run through shell companies, fraudulent pass-throughs, and other schemes. Second, we have the U.S. Treasury. In November 2025, Treasury announced a comprehensive audit of all contracts and task orders awarded under preference-based contracting, totaling approximately $9 billion in contracts across Treasury and its bureaus. Per Treasury, the audit is not only to examine potential misuse of the 8A program, but also other initiatives that provide federal contracting preferences to certain eligible businesses. The Treasury press release spoke of misuse enabling large companies to use pass-through arrangements where an eligible small business retains fees for minimal participation while subcontracting nearly all work. Consistent with this focus, the Treasury Secretary's statements reflect an emphasis on ensuring that only legitimate small businesses are winning awards and that legitimate small businesses deliver measurable value to the government and the public. Third, we have the Department of War. Based on a January 2026 memo, the Department of War instructed components to audit any active 8A sole source contracts over $20 million, 8A set-aside contracts over $20 million, or small business set-aside contracts over $20 million. So what had initially seemed like a focus on just 8A awards is actually much more expansive. And then based on a video released by the Secretary of War, the Department of War is concerned with pass-through fraud. As described in the video, the Department of War's audit is to determine whether a prime contractor is the one actually doing the work and not just some shell company that's funneling taxpayer money to a giant consulting firm. Finally, we have the General Services Administration. In January 2026, SBA issued a press release about programmatic changes to the 8A program, and in that press release indicated that GSA was also conducting its own audit related to the 8A program.
Okay, thanks, Zach. That's a really helpful framework. So, Olivia, in your view, what are these agencies auditing for, and what should our listeners be looking out for?
The common theme throughout the language used around these audits is a concern that some entity that is otherwise ineligible for the set-aside award, whether it be a small business set-aside or a WSB, SWSB, or 8A set-aside, is that there is some entity behind the small business prime that is actually benefiting from performing the requirements. So the announced focus of these audits is unsurprisingly threefold. First, limitations on subcontracting, i.e. whether, for example, on a services contract, the prime has subcontracted to a non-similarly situated entity, including a large subcontractor, in excess of what is allowed by FAR 52219-14. Second, a sensible subcontractor, In other words, whether the small business prime is unusually reliant on a large subcontractor, or you've got a large subcontractor that's performing the primary and vital requirements of the contract instead of the small business prime. Third, eligibility of the small business generally. And here, as Zach said, there's a lot of focus on whether the small business prime is just a pass-through. But then there's also this overlay seemingly focused on profits, i.e. whether profits are too high on these small business set-aside awards. Indeed, DOW is ordering the audit to include confirming that the audited contracts are being performed at or below market rates. While DOW is nominally including this part of the analysis as part of the limitations on subcontracting review, rates and market rates has never been an LOS consideration. Something for everyone to consider is that the information that is being and will be collected to allow agencies to perform these types of analyses could also show other issues with size or status eligibility, as well as raise concerns about, non-compliance and contract performance that, aren't the type of purported waste, fraud, and abuse that is the focus of the audits, could still be problematic for folks. Given the stated concerns driving these audits, we expect the government will focus not only on the small business primes, but also eventually their large business subcontractors. The questions from the government are just starting to be rolled out. At least now, you listeners, if you start hearing internally discussion around LOS or a sensible subcontractor, you're going to know what's driving those questions and concerns. Across the board, we're encouraging contractors to understand better what their risk profile is based on which agencies they've contracted with, whether directly as a prime or indirectly as a subcontractor, which pursuant to set-aside contracts, and over which relevant time periods for which agencies. We may not all feel the impact yet, but these audits are just starting, and there are steps to take to prepare in advance, and they certainly can be scaled to a contractor's risk profile. For folks who are already seeing questions, we encourage you all to treat them as the beginning of a potential investigation and respond accordingly.
That's great. Thanks, Olivia. Now, turning back to Zach, earlier you focused on audits of small business awards. Are there other audits going on that contractors should be aware of?
Yes. In addition to the SBA's audit of 8A contract awards, the SBA's Office of General Counsel issued a data call in December of last year to all active 8A participants. The SBA has said that this review is of its participants is to prove that they are not operating one of the pass-through schemes or shell companies that have become all too common in DC. And following the data call, SBA has been rolling out suspensions from the 8A program of contractors as a result of SBA's review.
Thanks so much, Zach and Olivia. And it's important for contractors to recognize the potential collateral impacts of these reviews as well, such as potential DOJ referrals, FCA investigations, or even government-wide suspension and debarment risk if there are contractor integrity concerns. So this is definitely an area we'll continue to track closely. And for our listeners who would like a deeper dive into these ongoing government audits, tune into our Kroll & Mooring webinar on March 12th at 12 p.m. Eastern. Now that's it for us today. Thank you so much for joining.
We will close this edition out. Thanks for listening to The Voice of Contract Management, brought to you by Kroll & Mooring exclusively for NCMA. Stay tuned for our next episode as we continue to discuss all things government contracting. In the meantime, explore your learning opportunities at www.ncmahq.org/coursecatalog.